Find all back episodes and other information at mattsaudioblog.com.
It was only days ago that we were longing for a singular HBO trailer for House of the Dragon. Instead, we got two. And we are here to break it down in two different ways. The first one will be spoiler-free, so if you haven't read the books or you don't really have any other knowledge about House of the Dragon, you're safe. And then later on in the episode, we will be using book spoilers to analyze every frame as to what we think we're seeing. Use the time codes in our show notes or in our YouTube presentation to navigate to the part that you want to get to. But we hope that you'll join me, Matt, this time around for Before the Dragon podcast.
Whoa, black and green.
HBO has made us make a choice, has told us that we must choose, all must choose between blacks and greens. I prefer to think of them as Rhaenyra or Aegon, so that's how I'm going to refer to them in this breakdown. But no matter which side you're on, I want to hear from you. Remember, at the letter B, the number four, the Dragon Pod is the spelling for both our social medias and our YouTube channel. We want to hear from you in comments. We want to hear from you in posts on the site formerly known as Twitter, or you can always send an email to mattsaudioblog@gmail.com. I've got a special feedback edition of the podcast coming very soon, so get your thoughts into me as quick as you can. Enough of me babbling in promotion. Let's get to these trailers and break them down. Before we get into, the nitty-gritty details of what's going on here with these two trailers, let's just talk about them in general first. There are some shots that are shared between the two, so you're not getting two completely original sets of shots with each trailer. And I'm okay with that, of course. You would like to have as many shots as possible so that you can get more and more excited about which either side is going to present. And because both sides kind of present this truth of their own, more so the greens than the blacks, which represents more of what we actually saw on the television show, there is a certain spin that each of these trailers take, and they're meant to take. You can't obviously blame Alicent for thinking what Viserys said meant her son. He did actually say Aegon, but we have the context of what he was talking with Rhaenyra about as outside viewers in terms of being able to suss out what Viserys actually meant. But that doesn't make Alicent's cause any less true to her.
You can have an Alicent completely for the things that you might do. Remove the situation far away from this girl's point of view.
Which I find very interesting. And I did love how the components of these teams, Team Aegon and Team Rhaenyra, really focused on their own viewpoints and their own actions based on those viewpoints. Now, to be perfectly honest, I'm not sure which of the trailers you were supposed to watch first, but I actually saw the green trailer first. It was the first link that I came on, and that's why I watched it first. I watched them first on the presentations on the site formerly known as Twitter. And later on in the day, I went back and did all my screen grabs and everything off of the way they were presented on Max. I will say that this whole idea of all must choose isn't really all that strong to me. I don't know why they would do that, except just to say, hey, we're going to present you two trailers instead of just one. It's a marketing ploy. I think what people are going to find is that war is horrific, and either side is probably capable of anything. But I really didn't feel compelled to pick a side. I was more like, what are we going to see? What is this? What is that? Than I was about, that sells me on Team Green, or that sells me on Team Black. Overall, I would rate these two trailers very high on a raising expectations, raising excitement scale, probably an 8 or 9 out of 10 for both of them. And I will say that I probably enjoyed the Green trailer more, which I know may get me a little slack, but the reason why I think is because I did see it first. And so the Black trailer with some of those same shared shots felt more filler to me. So it's just a matter of which order you see them in first. But regardless of that, I'm sure people are going to have opinions. Once again, I'd love to hear yours. And I think it sets up really nice for some of the things that we're going to be talking about this season. So with my overall impressions down on paper now, let's get into breaking these trailers down individually. And we are going to start with the Green trailer. So one thing I did off the bat, which I'm sure you probably noticed, is instead of calling it the Aegon trailer or the Team Rhaenyra trailer, I immediately went back into the old fold of calling it the Blacks and the Greens trailers, but I still don't like that. So I'm going to try much better this time to go with the Aegon trailer is what we're going to call this. And we're going to share my screen with my shots that I took from the HBO Max trailer. And we're going to talk about the shots themselves, and then we will go back and analyze what was said during those shots at the end of that. So our first shot is of Alicent. She's at a circle of candles. This is not unfamiliar to seeing Alicent in this way. She's very devout religiously. We saw her do these kinds of things with Rhaenyra in the main sept of the time period of King's Landing there. Probably the same place in this particular case. Not a whole lot to share there, but blowing out the candle. I think we saw that in the teaser trailer from early 2023. We then have a shot of the dragon pit, which is lifted straight from the teaser trailer. Nothing new to comment on about there. And then we have this shot of Alicent as she is relaying information about how, you know, she's convinced that her husband wanted Aegon to be king. But the one thing that I wanted to point out, there is different things being talked about here. And again, we'll talk about that in a second. But there is also a little more evidence, or perhaps the evidence was there before, but I just missed it. But there's a little more evidence as to who she is speaking to. And that would appear to be Lord Larys, likely Lord Larys. Those of you who've been around me for a while know that particular clip where me and Holly and John rocked out to a song that I created out of foolery. But the cane tells you all you really need to know, that it is, in fact, Lord Larys who she's speaking to. He has been a confidant of hers for a while, and really she him as well. So this is not an abnormal conversation. Fortunately, I hope anyway that he's not just staring at her feet and that he's actually listening to what she has to say. Our next shot is a nice shot of the new banners being unveiled for King Aegon. These are green with the gold dragon on them, as opposed to the traditional banners that we saw in season one. New king, new banners. That's the way that it goes. I love this shot because actually, when you see it, the banner actually unfurls, the banner on the left. And so it's got to be brand new. They're just doing this for the first time, perhaps, or they're just showing that the king is finally taking hold in King's Landing. We then have a shot of Alicent and Criston Cole, closely behind her, as he always is, walking into the small council chambers. There are some other people there, have no idea who is in the back behind Alicent, but I did try to take a closer look at the two on the side, and I believe that one of them is Grand Maester Orwell, and the other one perhaps might be Tywin Lannister, but I'm not sure about that. If you have any ideas about who those people are, please let me know. Then there's
shots, and this is one of those shared shots, but it is the back of Rhaenyra as Alicent is talking about her. Great eye shot of Rhaenyra as well. Our friends from the Joffrey of Podcast, Bubba and Catfish, always comment about how excellent Bubba's eye acting is. I think that Emma Darcy, I think they did a better job than you this time, Bubba. Then we have Aegon walking into the throne room. You just see his boots as he first walks in. And again, Alicent is still speaking. And then we have this shot of Aegon going to the Iron Throne. We hadn't seen him sit on the Iron Throne in season one. So this is a big deal. And Otto is bowing to Aegon. If you look at the course of the whole shot, he doesn't look real happy. But I will say that he should at least be happier than what I think he's going to be. We talked about when we broke down the teaser trailer how Kristen Cole had the hand of the king chain around his neck in some shots. And we've seen that in these trailers as well. Here, though, it looks like Otto is still acting as hand. You can see his hand of the king pin and then the chains. And I'm not sure which of the chains is actually the hand of the king chain, but I'm suspecting it's the one that's higher up on his neck than the one that's lower. But still hand of the king at this point. We then have a shot of Alicent. And Alicent is, again, continuing with her reasoning for why she feels Aegon is the just king. Again, we'll talk about all the conversations at the end of this. Aegon taking the throne, having a seat. He does it, he flips his cape, and he's almost kind of playful, kind of flippant about it, in my opinion. To me, Aegon is fast becoming the Joffrey of this series. And I love Joffrey Baratheon. Just ask everybody at the Joffrey of Podcast. I'm one of his biggest fans. He's one of the greatest characters ever written by George, by anybody. But he tends to have a villainous reputation. And the more I watch this particular trailer for Team Aegon, the more I kind of get that Joffrey vibe. Next shot. These are great. This is, looks like the Kingsguard, or at least some kind of guard, maybe some type of Hightower guard or something based on that sigil. I can't really get in there close enough to see exactly what that is. It's kind of a greenish looking color. So it's somebody who obviously has allegiance to Aegon, but he's cranking this big wheel. And what is that wheel attached to? Well, it's attached to this, what we call a scorpion. And it looks like, since we know that Eric is on Dragonstone, this appears to be more like the Red Keep. So this must be Eric. I don't know if it's Eric or Eric. And I'm not going to pronounce them any different, despite what Patman 23 tells me to do. But scorpions are very important. We saw them used in, was it the 7th season of Game of Thrones against some of Daenerys's dragons, and they're present in the history of the books as well. When Aegon the Conqueror first conquered Westeros and tried to bring Dorne into the fold, he sent one of his sister wives down there, and the Dornish evidently had scorpions and scorpion technology. They're just kind of like really amped up crossbows. And they can do a lot of damage. And the hope is, of course, that they'll do damage to dragons. You'll have to imagine that now that Aegon is sitting the throne, he's worried that Rhaenyra, who has a ton of dragons, might come to King's Landing looking to claim her throne. We then have a shot that is very similar to the shot that we had in the teaser trailer, except it was a guard just standing holding a Rhaenyra banner, so to speak, or a banner for some people allegiant to Rhaenyra. But now we get confirmation that this is, in fact, a legion of troops, people that are very much in allegiance with Rhaenyra, because this appears to be Daemon standing all over it. And the way you can identify it is the armor. We'll talk more about his armor. We see him in armor in several shots throughout the course of these trailers. Next, we have Otto Hightower He's complaining Team Rhaenyra that all they're out for is vengeance now. Remember, Rhaenyra had her son killed, so by Aemon, accidental or not, as the show kind of portrayed it, doesn't matter. I kind of have to imagine that Aemon's going to take more credit for it than he really deserves. That was really Vhagar that killed Lucerys, but you know, that's the way it is. But Otto just sees it as now they just want to kill us. They don't really care about the people of the realm. Again, it looks like he's still got those chains on that indicate that he is Hand of the King. So this has to be fairly early on in the season. I'll get into that in the spoiler sections. You have Rhaenyra looking a little devilish as Otto is talking about her. So again, these trailers are shot from the perspective of the side, so they make Rhaenyra look a little more evil, but who knows what this interaction that Rhaenyra is having with somebody is actually about. She does look a little mean. I will say that. She does look a little mean. I have no idea who the dragon, somebody's riding it. The dragon just kind of swoops over you on camera in this shot. It could be Meleys. I don't think it's Meleys. It could be Cyrax. I'm not sure if it's Cyrax. I am terrible with identifying dragons, people. I need your help. Please reach out to me on social media. Leave comments in my YouTubes. You've got to help me with these dragons because I'm a bad A Song of Ice and Fire person because I don't know the dragons. I don't know them at all. I usually rely on Holly or Kelly or John to tell me which dragons are which. And I just kind of fake it. Dislike the video if that's bad for you. I'm sorry. I'm not a dragon enthusiast. I think they look cool. I think they're great. I think they should be treated with respect, mainly because they're capable of killing anyone anytime they want to. But I don't obsess about the dragons the way a lot of people do in regards to this show. It's got reddish color to it, I suppose. This is one of those pictures that I adjusted a little bit, so that coloring may be a little bit too strong if you're watching this on the video, but it seems to indicate some kind of redness. It very well could be Meleys, and that would probably mean that it's Rhaenys riding on top of her in this shot, which would make sense because the next shot that we get is essentially a bunch of troops on the ground, and it looks like that they're getting blown away from the shot. In some way that something has descended and the force of all of that has thrown it away. Could be fire. Could it be Meleys fire? Maybe these shots aren't even connected. I'm not sure. The next shot is where we start to get into some really interesting intrigue because we have what appears to be a gold cloak who is standing at a gate. And then there is someone else who seems to be holding a bag of something, almost like they're trying to bribe this gold cloak. We all know that gold cloaks are definitely not above being bribed. So it's quite possible that that's what's going on here. A gold cloak is being bribed to let somebody in a gate. We know that most of the gold cloaks are, of course, at King's Landing. So this must be occurring, of course, at King's Landing at some point. We'll talk more about all of that in the spoiler section. But that is followed up by this particular shot. Now, a shot of two men going into this tunnel. One is carrying a torch. The other one is carrying a club. He appears to be much bigger than the man carrying the torch, although the man carrying the torch is a few steps ahead of him. So that might be the difference in the perception. But I have a feeling that I know who these two guys are. Again, we'll talk about it in the spoilers. I will just say this. In the teaser trailer, there was a shot of Helena with a knife being held to her throat. And to me, the hair color of the guy holding the torch appears to be about the same. And even the styling, the kind of curliness in it, appears to be very similar. So I'm suspecting that whoever this is going to end up in Helena's room or with Helena holding a knife to her throat. Next shot is of Aegon, and he is pretty mad. And again, he's speaking about how consequences against him being king will be met with a lot of ferocity as he looks around and looks kind of almost a little despondent, which makes you wonder what has happened there. So we can talk again about that in the spoiler section, but he doesn't look very happy at all. And then we have this wonderful shot of Aegon the Conqueror's crown fitted onto a knight's helm. I love this. I love picturing Aegon the Conqueror as going around flying on Beleriand just like this, although maybe he didn't even feel the need to wear a knight's helmet. But this is obviously being presented to Aegon II. He is evidently going to go into battle himself, or at least he's being fitted to make it look like he's going to go into battle for himself. Another shot of Aegon follows that with him. I believe that's Lord Larys who he's talking to, but he kind of approaches him a little bit menacingly and then says some words that we hear him say in a moment. We get our first shot after that of Sunfire. Look at that beautiful dragon. I do know Sunfire when I see Sunfire, but just an absolutely beautiful shot of Sunfire there. This is obviously in the dragon pit as well. And it looks like that since Sunfire is Aegon's dragon, that Aegon's going to get on there. Is it related to him wearing armor? We will have to see. Again, we can talk about that in the spoiler section. I'm saying that a lot. I'm sorry, folks. I'm trying to keep this clean until we get to that section. Remember, the time markers that are in our descriptions will help you get to those points if you want to get to them. We now see an interior. It looks like it might be just a quarters, perhaps Allison's quarters, perhaps Aegon's quarters. Trying to remember where I might have seen that set before. It's not coming to me. But Aegon looks a little dejected, or at least a little tired. Allison at this point is scolding him in the dialogue that is said in the Team Aegon trailer. And here you can see Allison continuing to scold her as we get a close-up of her speaking to him about how many sacrifices were made to get him to the throne. And Aegon, he's kind of taken it like a man. He's just listening to mom right there, although he doesn't look real happy about it. And we'll say that in that shot. The next shot. Now, this is interesting. There are guards that run by. I think the shot that we're looking at is of Harrenhal. Now, the reason I say that is because there's a lot of towers spiring here. And if you look off to the right here, it looks like some of the buildings are damaged. Remember that Aegon the Conqueror did, in fact, do a lot of damage to Harrenhal right after King Harren built it and tried to hide in it. And that doesn't work against dragons. But I believe this is Harrenhal. So that would probably mean that these are Larys Strong holds Harrenhal now. So these are probably folks who belong to House Strong. Then we get a shot of Daemon. And this also looks like it's in Harrenhal to me for some reason. But he's not in armor. He's not in anything like that. He's just showing. It's like he's roaming through the halls, or he's talking to someone, or he's finding someone. But again, the stone looks very similar to what we saw in the prior shot. And so I'm thinking this is at Harrenhal. Then we have a shot of Aemond, the Kinslayer. And Aemond does not look very happy in any shot. He sometimes looks satisfied. He sometimes looks determined, but he never, ever looks happy. Aemond isn't a happy guy. He's not a happy guy, which is unfortunate because he's a pretty fun character. I don't like him a whole lot, but he's a fun character. I'm assuming this is at King's Landing. Who else would have, like dragons, coat hangers or bedposts? Just seems to be their way. Then we see Aemond talking to Criston Cole, and Criston Cole look, has that Hand of the King chain on that he is wearing. So this is obviously after Otto is no longer Hand of the King. What happens there? Well, I'll tell you in the spoilers, but I won't tell you here. Just know that we've already noted in many breakdowns that Kristen Cole seems to be gaining power within this house of the Hightowers and the house of course, King Aegon II. But Aemond and Kristen Cole are talking about, I think, some kind of strategy. And Aemond brings up that, you know, he's not scared of his uncle Daemon, who we just saw in the shots a couple minutes ago, kind of a nice connector there. That's the only kind of smirk I've ever seen on Aemond's face, is one where he feels like he's going to get to kill somebody. It's pretty much the way that Aemond is. We then have a shot of small folk, our favorite people in all these stories, because they're the ones who always get screwed and they're the ones who really deserve the most justice. But here, they look kind of sad. They're throwing flower petals. And as you can see, as I zoom in on the face of one of these women, I mean, they all look very sad. They look like they are in mourning, is what it appears to be to me. Or perhaps, I mean, flower petals could be for any occasion. Of course, maybe they're just mourning the fact that Aegon is parading through the city. Probably not, because the next shot also shows Alicent, and she looks very sad, tears in her eyes. She's got a veil, very similar to the veil that we saw Helaena have in the teaser trailer of late 2023. So I believe that this is some kind of mourning procession for certain. And whoever they're mourning, it's obviously sad for Aegon's family. Then we have, of course, Otto Hightower, who is seemingly giving some prep to somebody. When we hear the conversation again, we'll go over that in a second. But he looks very determined. I don't know that I can see any kind of chains on him now. So perhaps this is post him being deposed, but he's still alive. At least he hasn't been killed, right? Even if he's not wearing the chain, although he is also wearing kind of a coat. So maybe you just can't see the chains for his coat. I will say that. Then we have a Bracken soldier, and not just any Bracken soldier. I believe this Bracken soldier happens to be the same one that we saw in the teaser trailer in late 2023, except now we see who this Bracken soldier is drawing their swords against. And that appears to be a bunch of Blackwoods. You see the Bracken on the next shot, the wider shot, the Bracken is on the right. You can definitely see their sigil there. You can't really see the sigils on the other ones. The other ones don't appear to have sigils on that I can tell. But the colors are black and red. And we, of course, know that those are the colors of the banners from the season one, episode 4, I believe, where Willem Blackwood and Gerald Blackwood fought to the death over Rhaenyra's hand. And she didn't want either of their hands. So that's the way that goes, but that's not the only source of the Blackwood and Bracken enmity. Is that how you say that word? Enmity. So I believe that you're going to see this feud boil up into something much bigger in this season, but they did lay the seeds for it really well in season one. We didn't have a hand twirling a coin, somebody trying to do a magic trick. Probably Aegon would be my guess. He seems like he would be the guy that would be disinterested in any kind of thing that's important that's been talked about. And we see a shot of Daemon and Alicent next. And Daemon is looking at Alicent He's not the one that's speaking, though. We're hearing the voice of Otto Hightower, I believe, during this sequence. And she turns her attention to whoever is speaking as well. Is this a small council meeting? It doesn't look like the same room, unless they've changed the furniture or not. I don't know where this is. It could just be in somebody's quarters. Then we have a shot of Kristen Cole once again, and this appears to be connected to the 2023 teaser trailer as well, where we saw him behead somebody. Of course, he wears the same clothes all the time, so it's hard to tell. And I can't really tell if he's got the chain for the Hand of the King on him there or not, but it looks like a very similar setting to where we saw him behead somebody. The next shot that we have is very disturbing. A maid is running down the hallway. She has a blanket or a sheet or a cloth covered absolutely in blood. Her hands have blood in them. I do think I know what this shot is from as well. Once again, no spoilers here. So if you want spoilers, find it in the time codes and skip to that part. Basically, this is one of the best parts of the trailer for me, this particular trailer. And that is how enthusiastic Aegon is in regards to going to war. Or is it actually enthusiasm? Is it mock enthusiasm? Because we've seen Aegon in the past seasons be non-involved. If it's not involving him directly, then he probably doesn't want any part of it. But he just does say, you know, great, good, to war then, basically. To war! Not like that, though. Not with that kind of enthusiasm. Just kind of like, hey, yeah, let's do it. So I think he's almost kind of mocking whoever's telling him, you know, we've got to take care of this war business now, but you will bring peace eventually. I think that's Otto that's saying it to him, and he's responding with, yeah, you know, why not? So that's the way I read it. If you read it differently, please let me know at the letter B, the number 4, the Dragon Pod, on all of the socials. You can send posts to me on the site formerly known as Twitter there, or you can leave comments in our YouTube video down below. Our next shot is of Vhagar. Obviously, that's going to be Aemon riding Vhagar, although it really just looks like a pile of bones on top of Vhagar right there. Vhagar's got holes in her wings. She is not very, well, she's old. You know, you can't expect every woman to be put together perfectly once she gets to be, you know, a couple of hundred years old. Then we have Kristen Cole riding furiously into the woods. And I believe that all of this is part of the same battle from other shots that we saw earlier. We'll talk more about that in a little bit in the spoiler section. But riding furiously. I love all the horse riding shots in these trailers. Really well done. The 2023 teaser as well. All of the horse riding shots are great. And I don't like the idea of horses being subject to man. But when man and horse work really well together, it is quite a beautiful sight. I will say that. And there is Kristen once again. He definitely has his gold chain there, and he looks like he's screaming a battle cry, right? That's what he looks like he's doing. I imagine he's probably on top of a horse. Well, he's not on top of a horse. The actor is probably on top of a little green thing, little green gimbal that's bouncing them around, based on the close-up of that shot. But you never know. Maybe he actually rode a horse. Who knows? We then have, now this guy looks the same as the guy that we saw earlier in the trailer by the scorpion. Note how there's all kinds of green marking in his armor, or he's got all this green paint all over his armor. I love the bands. I think it looks beautiful. I will say that all of the costumes, all of the sets, all of the effects in these two trailers look absolutely amazing. Loved every bit of it. And it didn't see a drop in quality anywhere. And I could actually see everything. For the most part, I did have to brighten up a couple of shots here or there for a presentation on YouTube, because YouTube seems to darken everything for me, or maybe my video editor darkens everything for me, but I'll figure that out eventually. Nonetheless, I could see everything. So maybe that's how I'll notice the leaving of Sposnik is the fact that I'll be able to see everything. I won't have to worry about, you know, turning my brightness level on my TV up to 738 past where it's actually capable of going anymore. Maybe I'll actually be able to see everything this particular season, or at least half see it so that I can brighten it up in screenshots later. But that is probably Eric. I mean, it could be Eric, but it's probably Eric. Now, one is spelled with an E, one is spelled with an A. I will say this one is the one with the A most likely. And he is fighting away against someone. Who could it be? We can talk about that in the spoilers as well. We have a beautiful shot of King's Landing, and this is what I mean by the visual effects looking great. It almost feels like this shot is a prelude to you're going to see a dragon fly by. That's what I'm guessing. And because it's just, it's a beautiful, you can see the way the Red Keep sits high up on a hill, but I'm still betting that a dragon's going to fly by in a part of the shot that we didn't see. Although I don't know why they wouldn't have done that. Unless, of course, they haven't finished it, because they did just finish filming in the middle of March. So maybe that's why. Maybe they haven't done the VFX for this shot yet, but they got the city itself good enough, ready to go. Alicent, once again, looks like she's in, once again, in that sept. She's got her headdress on and everything. She looks almost like a nun there in this shot. She's holding a candle, I believe, and, or maybe it's a cup, but we don't want any more Game of Thrones coffee cups in me, but that does kind of look like a cup. No, it is a candle. It's got to be a candle. She's probably going to light it. That's probably all connected to that same shot that we saw at the beginning of the trailer. We see Alicent once again. Again, she's talking to somebody. Could it be Larrys? Might be. Could it be Aegon? Might be. Could it be Otto? Could be any of them. But we don't see who she's talking to. My money's always on Larrys. That's why I call him likely Larrys Strong. Moving on, I love this particular shot. There is this wide shot, and it looks like it's on a castle. There's a whole bunch of barren lands almost out in front, and it looks like that there's a whole bunch of soldiers marching either to this place or away from this place. I can't tell which direction the soldiers are facing based on the shot. Also, I tried zooming in on who's standing on top of the castle. Can't really make too much about that either, except for the fact that it looks there's a green tint to them, without doubt. To their capes, to their clothing. So I'm assuming that they are Team Aegon. On the other hand, when you look at those troops, you would think that being that they look mostly reddish, that they might be Team Rhaenyra. But we'll have to see. I have no idea what this shot is. I don't know where it is. If you have any ideas, please, please feel free to let me know as soon as possible, because I would like to share that with the rest of my audience. I do have a special feedback podcast coming up very shortly. I know I've been promising it for a while, but I'm still putting together stuff, and I want to put together feedback from these presentations as well. Next, we have Alicent. She's submerging herself in water. Again, this appears to me like she's kind of in mourning. When you look at the distraught look on her face, at one point she's underwater. She's looking straight up, not seemingly caring that she's underwater. I keep worrying that she's going to take a breath and, you know, asphyxiate herself or whatever. Here's another dragon shot after that, which, again, I have no idea who this is. It's got really neat speckles on its wings. I need Holly and Kelly and John here to help me out who this is. This may very well be Moondancer, who is Baela Targaryen's dragon. It's my shot in the dark guess. Just because there's a shot in the Black trailer that's similar, where you see Moondancer diving, and this appears to be just that same dive from perhaps a different, slightly different angle. But we'll see. And again, you can see that same dragon with these wonderful patterns in their wings, just circling over the trees. And the whole time, Kristen Cole is yelling stuff to his forces, is what you hear the voice of. We're going to get to that in just a second because we're nearly at the end of this trailer. But once again, yeah, there is, I believe, Moondancer. We have a shot of Aegon. This is very similar to a shot from the 2023 teaser where he is being introduced to the crowds and going to the Iron Throne for the first time, I believe. Have no idea who the guys on either side of him are. One of them, now that's not really a sigil. I don't see much in the way of sigils on these guys. They just look like they're dressed really fancy. And they look like they're supposed to be hanging around Aegon at this point. He's dropped his guards, though. His King's Guard is no longer around him as they were in the 2023 teaser trailer. So maybe it's from a totally different shot or a totally different courtroom session. Who knows? And finally, this shot, who is another dragon that I absolutely do not know. I might dub in once I figure out who this is, once I cheat and go to another place where they tell me who this dragon is. I will let you know by dropping it in right here.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Sea Smoke. Matt is an idiot. The dragon is Sea Smoke.
And that concludes the trailer itself for the shots and the way we analyze it. But let's take a look at the dialogue. Once again, Alicent starts off the conversation by saying, "Only weeks ago, my lord husband was alive and the realm was at peace." And it goes through several shots as she says that. "On his deathbed," and these are shots of Rhaenyra, "he knew the realm would never accept a queen." Did he? Did he really? Alicent seems to think so. "Rhaenyra's supporters will believe what they wish." Pardon me? Yeah, that's what it says. "Rhaenyra's supporters will believe what they wish." And yes, most of Rhaenyra's supporters do believe what they wish because it's what the television show pretty much showed us. But nonetheless, Alicent seems to have a different opinion. She continues and says, "But Viserys wanted Aegon to succeed him." Okay. Now, that's the end of Alicent's first monologue there. And it probably all comes from that shot where we see her talking to Larrys. That's what my guess is that that all comes from that conversation with Larrys. And the rest of these shots are just filler in shots. Although but "wanted Aegon to succeed him" is from that same scene with Larrys. Now we move on to hearing Otto's voice, who says, "They wish now not for the good of the realm," where we see Eric. And then we see him talking to Alicent, which is where this dialogue is probably from, "but for the satisfaction of vengeance." And Otto is really upset about this. Something has happened that has made him very upset. He still has his chains. So what has happened that has made him very upset? I think I know, yet I will not say anything here. Spoiler section, folks. Spoiler section. I believe Aegon says any plot against the king, but we see that shot of those two gentlemen in the tunnel. And like I said, if you look at that dude's hair color and the way it's curly, I think it might be the same dude that was holding a knife to Helaena. So any plot against the king trying to take Helaena out, or whoever's in the room there with Helaena, then that seems to me like that would be a plot against the king. And this is Aegon saying this, "and I will pay it back 100 times over. And this is that shot of Aegon looking kind of distraught, pretty distraught, to be perfectly honest. "I'm as fearsome of any of them." And you hear him say that. This is Aegon again saying that, as we have this beautiful shot of sunfire in the dragon pit. And then Alicent retorts, and this is where I believe that the entire dialogue comes from between Isla, Aegon, and Alicent. And she says, "You have no idea the sacrifices that were made to put you on that throne." And you see another shot of Aegon looking a little miffed that he just got scolded by his mom. Now we hear from Aemond, whose voice tells us, as he's talking to Kristen Cole, "My uncle is a challenge I welcome." His uncle is Daemon, I'm assuming. And Aemond continues by saying, "if he dares to face me." Ooh, if he dares to face me. Does he think Daemon is some kind of coward? Because Damon's crazy, but he ain't a coward. Or maybe in my case, you know, not being a coward would be crazy, but you know, whatever. Now the mood shifts after Eamon says that, and now we have Alicent mourning, and we hear Otto's voice say, "We will prevail and bring forth peace, but you must accept that path to victory now is one of violence." So to me, it seems like Otto is talking to Aegon, because right after that, we go to the shot where we see Aegon say, "Good, to war then." And again, I can't tell if he's being a smart aleck or if he's actually enthusiastic about getting to war. I know a lot of people are saying he's enthusiastic. I'm not really reading it that way. I'm reading it more like he's kind of like, "Well, here we go. Okay. Yeah." He might be ready to go to war, though. It depends on how much has happened. Again, more on spoilers. We go back to Alison speaking. She says, "All my life, I've endowed to serve both my house and the realm, and somehow none of it matters." And during the course of those are almost all shots on Alicent. It goes from her being in the Sept again, all the way through to her looking very distraught in a bathtub, holding herself underwater, just kind of staring up at the sky as she's completely underwater. And then we hear Kristen Cole's voice. And this is as the dragon is circling over the woods towards the end of the trailer. "Hold to your courage for the one true king, Aegon." Wow. So those are all the shots, all of the dialogue. Loved every last bit of all of this. As I said, I saw this particular trailer first, the Team Aegon trailer first, and loved it. And then when I saw the Team Rhaenyra trailer afterwards, kind of like, well, they stole some of the same shots. Perhaps the Greens stole the shots from Rhaenyra. Perhaps Rhaenyra stole the shots from the Greens. A new debate. We can debate about the trailers. We don't have to just debate about the houses. We can debate about the trailers. Isn't that great? I mean, I am so excited to talk about all of this with you. Let me know what you thought of the Green trailer. Pardon me, the Team Aegon trailer. I'm trying to call it the Team Aegon trailer. I'm not being very successful at all. But if you like this trailer more than the trailer for Rhaenyra, let me know. If you didn't like this trailer as much, let me know. I will say that, as I said at the top of this presentation, I don't think Alicent is lying when she says that she thinks that Viserys wanted Aegon to be king. I think she truly believes that. I don't believe she's correct, but I think that she truly believes it. And I don't blame her for fighting to the end for that. But I mean, like, seven hells. We're 45 minutes plus into this presentation, and so far all I've covered is the Aegon trailer, spoiler free. There's so much more to do here. So let's move right on to the spoiler-free analysis of Team Rhaenyra's trailer.
Whoa, black and green. Black and green.
We've already spent a lot of time on the Aegon trailer. Let's get right into the Rhaenyra trailer. One of the first shots that we get in Rhaenyra's trailer is this shot of everybody in the family circled around this pit. It looks very similar to the pit that they had placed Rhaenyra and Daemon's baby on in the last episode. It doesn't look like the same location, but it does look very similar. Now, what I want to show you up close is the fact that it looks like this is Jace, Joff, and Rhaenyra off to the side, followed by a guard, a maid. This probably in the center, right at the pit, this fire pit, probably is Baela and Rhaena. We see Rhaenys and Corlys, and it doesn't look like there's anybody else there. Some guards here in the back. Doesn't look like Daemon is there, which is very interesting to me. Moving on to the next shot. There's a shot of Rhaenyra. I'm not sure if this is from the same scene or not, but she does look very sad. The next shot really has me puzzled. This is a shot of a dragon who I think is Syrax. I'm not sure, which would make that be Rhaenyra riding Syrax. And then there's this castle, which I believe might be Harrenhal, which would make this island on the right of the shot the God's Eye. And notice there's a lot of red leaves here, which would indicate weirwood trees. So my question to you guys, as you're looking at these shots on YouTube, or if you're hearing me describe them on the audio version, is because I've heard other YouTubers, other content providers call this castle Storm's End, which I can understand there's kind of a round circular tower at the front end of Storm's End as well. But to me, this looks much more like Harrenhal. Do you think it's Harrenhal as well? And I believe that that is Rhaenyra and Syrax on the right, and beneath them is, again, the question, if this is Harrenhal, then is the island on the right, we're seeing the God's Eye? Are we seeing that entire lake that Harrenhal goes around? I think that would be very cool to see the God's Eye in season two of House of the Dragon. Again, I look at this and it looks more like Harrenhal. The tallest spire seems to have some bits of it broken away, possibly by dragon fire, because we know that Aegon the Conqueror did in fact damage that castle a long time ago. And it looks similar to the design that we saw in Game of Thrones when Arya was there as well. And again, I'm looking at this dragon here, and I think it's Syrax. I guess it could possibly be Maelys, given the kind of reddish tint, but I can't tell if it's a reddish tint or a goldish tint. So please help me out. Let me know. The next shot is Rhaenyra, probably at Dragonstone, staring off into the sunset, or possibly the sunrise. There's a dragon flying in the background. Not sure which dragon that is. Not sure who that person is that is with her either. There is a guard there as well, likely a king's guard, or I guess in Rhaenyra's case, a queen's guard. This could be from the same scene. I'm not sure. It's a close-up of Rhaenyra. She's staring off, and it looks like she's staring out into the ocean, but I would imagine if you lose your child, you're going to stare out into the ocean a lot. So I don't imagine that I can make any real connection between this shot and the prior shot, other than the fact that they just follow each other in sequence, and sometimes they do that in trailers, and sometimes they don't. Now, the next shot definitely looks more like Syrax. Definitely looks more like Rhaenyra on the left-hand side of it. There are boats. It's a beach. And there is a castle at the end. That looks like Storm's End to me. So this is probably a part of the sequence where we saw in the teaser trailer where Rhaenyra was staring kind of at Storm's End. Many people suspect that this is her looking for Luke's body. Perhaps these fishermen, who I think we saw in another shot in the teaser trailer, have found Lucerys's body, which might make that first shot a funeral for them. The only problem that I have with that is, did Jace come all the way back from wherever he was, the Vale or the North, where Rhaenyra had sent him at the end of season one? Why would he come back for that funeral? Well, it's his brother, so I guess he would come back, but it's kind of hard to get word in any kind of amount of time. And we have seen shots later on in this trailer that Jace is in the North. I'll get to that in just a second, of course. So once again, I believe that the castle that we're seeing is Storm's End. I believe that this is Syrax and Rhaenyra. Once again, I'm terrible with dragons. Please let me know what you think. Definitely looks like them to me. The next shot is one that we saw from the Green trailer, another one of these shots that I considered filler for this trailer. However, if I'd seen this trailer first, I'd have considered them as filler in the Green trailer, right? He's about to sit down on the throne. He looks kind of, I think he flips his cape before he sits down. And I've already done my Joffrey comparisons. No reason to go on further there. The next shot is Rhaenyra sitting at a table. Looks like she's got Jace there with her. Looks like she's got Baela with her. I'm not sure who's seated down on this end in front of us. Could be any Targaryen. This Targaryen, I originally thought on the right-hand side, I originally thought that that was Daemon. This dude's got a beard, so I don't think that's Daemon. If you know who the people are in this shot, please let me know. We've got a Kingsguard there, the one that I can never remember, but the one that was with Sir Darklyn when Daemon made them take their oaths. And then another shot of Rhaenyra, who is basically saying, I'm going to win this war. And the interesting thing is then we do get a shot of Daemon. So Daemon is there, but I don't see him in that original shot. So maybe it's two different scenes, although the clothing looks similar on Rhaenyra. But maybe this is a different scene altogether. Daemon looks quite satisfied that Rhaenyra is willing to go to war. Of course, Daemon wants war. He wants his kind of thumb paw prints on the throne himself, without doubt. The next shot, I'm not sure where this is. It's probably Dragonstone, but I'm not absolutely certain. You can see a dragon in the window, and a Kingsguard is there staring at the window. I can't tell if that is... It might be one of the Carguile twins there. It does seem to be kind of a greenish tint on the back of that Kingsguard, so maybe... this is at King's Landing. Maybe this is at the Dragon Pit, but I'm not certain. It could also be that when we get into spoilers, we can talk more about what that shot could mean otherwise. But then we have Rhaenyra, and she's looking a little distraught. She's walking past a lot of these dragon trainers, and she's moving towards Syrax, probably to ride him. So this is obviously a Dragonstone, and I guess she is basically going to go. This actually could be. She gets the news of Luke, and then she goes looking for his body. It could be something as simple as that, or it could be her going out to do something else. But the truth of the matter is I think she's going to look for Luke here. Now, I mentioned how Jace is back at all of these other things that you think would have happened fairly quickly after season two begins. But these shots of men in the north, you can see all of the ice and everything. The men are out of focus, but it's basically a cut from the teaser trailer shot where we saw a bunch of men walking out into the woods in the north, and I can't tell if they're walking towards the wall or if they've disembarked from the wall and are going into the further north. But then we see this great shot of Jace, and I believe is Kragan Stark talking. It could be somebody else. I could be wrong. But the way that this is all set up looks very much like the way that we saw Jon Snow and Samwell Tarly when they were guarding the wall. So is this actually at the wall, or is it Winterfell with just a lot of snow all around it? Because there are parts where you can see where it looks like it's ground, not all ice. So it could very well just be Winterfell that they are at, and it makes sense that Jace was going to go to Winterfell to try and get the Starks to fight for Rhaenyra's side. So it could just be Winterfell, but the other stuff looked like it was more wall oriented. We'll have to see how that goes. I'll maybe have a little more thoughts about that in the spoiler section. Again, use the timestamps if my broad speculations here don't match your taste. Another shot of Rhaenyra. She looks pretty angry there, or at least determined. And I love that look in her eyes. I think Emma Darcy, I think they are just beautiful. And they've really portrayed this character well. Then this is an interesting shot because we get a cut in of Gawain Hightower. Remember, he was one of the participants in the tourney that got defeated pretty easily by Daemon, I believe, is who defeated him. Although I'm not sure if it's the same actor or not, but we do have confirmation that this is Gawain Hightower by IMDb. So he looks like he's in a battle here, or he's with fellow soldiers. He's all dressed up in his armor. This next shot, again, like I said before, I have no idea who this is, but it is another repeat shot. Could be Maelys, could be Syrax, could be Rhaenys, could be Rhaenyra. Can't really get that much out of it. Doesn't really look like Maelys to me with this tint coloring. It looks much more like Syrax, or perhaps some completely different dragon. Again, let me know at the letter B, the number 4, the Dragon Pod, wherever you get your social medias, or on YouTube. You can leave comments on our videos. We've got a lot of great comments on our videos so far. Again, this is the exact same sequence from the green trailer. You have that dragon flying overhead, and then you have troops being blown back by some kind of force that seems to be coming down from the sky, likely dragonfire. I think I know what this battle is from, but I don't feel how those two shots are connected, if that is the case. So I'm a little confused here, a little disoriented, but you kind of have come to expect that from me. Next shot is Aemond, and I love this shot. I have no idea where it is. I'm suspecting King's Landing. Perhaps this painting in the background is him standing in front of a depiction of the burning of Harrenhal. Quite possibly, you would think that that kind of picture would be prevalent in King's Landing. It could also be prevalent in Harrenhal, but I'm not sure if Aemond has spent any time in Harrenhal or will spend any time in Harrenhal this season. We will have to see. We then have Otto. He's got his chains for certain there. The next shot is Corlys. He's walking towards a dock, basically. And I think he's going to be approaching Rhaenys because we have him in the very next shot talking to Rhaenys. And I'll go over all this dialogue at the end. Same shot from the Aegon trailer where we had Rhaenyra looking kind of mean. Are kind of scheming, like she's doing this little thing with her fingers, which indicates a little bit of, I don't want to say evil, just kind of meanness to me. Satisfaction in somebody else's suffering is what it seems like to me. Then we have this shot, and this is clearly Daemon. You remember from our green trailer analysis that we saw that same armor when he was standing over that encampment. Now he's in the rain, and that's a pretty big tower in the background as the rain is really, really coming down. Remember that we had that shot of the guards running in the rain as well earlier, so these shots may be connected. I think this is Daemon sneaking his way through Harrenhal, and there's a great shot of his helmet. Of course, we've already gotten great shots of his helmet in the prior trailer as well, the 2023 teaser trailer when he picked it up, but love it. And again, you can see that it's raining. It looks like it's the same spot. I'm going to say it's Harrenhal. This next shot, we saw a morning shot in the Aegon trailer. Now we see probably what it's connected to. We have Helaena and Alicent. Helaena and Alicent really looking like they're upset about something, probably in mourning because they're wearing veils. Aegon, once again, looking despondent. And they're all wearing these similar chains. I guess it is the way that Hightower's house has kind of invaded the royal emblems, besides just the green banner. We then have a shot of Daemon, and I'll get to the dialogue, but basically he's saying, surrender or I'll burn your house down. And so he's obviously talking to enemy troops, and he's telling them, you must surrender your castle. You must pledge to Queen Rhaenyra. Again, that fabulous armor. The costumes in this show are just amazing. We then have a shot of horses running by very quick. I cannot make out the sigils on the men who are riding, but it seems very oriented towards Aegon, because there's a lot of green in some of the heraldry that we're seeing here on these knights. Could they be Kingsguard? Not certain. Then we see more similar horse riding going on through the woods. Now, the person on the right, I believe, is Criston Cole. That's his shortened hair. The person on the left could be Gawain Hightower again. Not certain, but they're racing their horses through the woods, and we'll have to see what that's about. Actually, I do kind of think I know what that's connected to, because we've seen other shots that most content providers have connected to a certain battle, but we'll talk about that in the spoilers. Then we have Bela, and we saw a shot of Bela screaming out loud, very almost angry in anguish in the teaser trailer. Now we see a little bit further action, and it seems like that she and Moondancer are over a set of woods. Basically, they are over woods. Is it the same woods that Criston is running through? That would be very interesting for me. We can talk more about that in the spoilers as well. But here is a shot of Moondancer, those beautiful patterns in Moondancer's wings. Now that I've gotten a little more familiar with Moondancer, I recognize Moondancer a little more quickly than I did at the beginning of this session. There it is again. Moondancer, and I believe that that is Bela's red cape scraping behind as they do the dive shot. And that's how I was able to connect to the Aegon trailer, that these are all probably just different angles from the same sequence that we've seen in both trailers. Another repeat shot of the back of Rhaenyra's head, then a shot not of her eyes like it was in the Aegon trailer, but more of her face. However, I wonder if they're from the same scene, both those shots, the ones just on her eyes and this one. She looks very, I don't know, just discombobulated, yet determined in a certain way. That's what I'm reading from that particular shot. Then we have Rhaenys, and this looks like it's from the same scene that we saw in the teaser trailer, where she and Rhaenyra are talking about kinslaying and dragons and how awful all of it is. We then have a shot of Aegon, and this is something that I don't think we got in the Aegon trailer, but he's just beating the living crap out of somebody with some kind of big club in some way. Again, I think I know what this is related to, but I don't really want to say in a non-spoiler section. He's being very vicious. The next shot is old Vhagar, holes in her wings and all. And that's probably, of course, Aemon riding on top of old Vhagar. Now, this is interesting because we get a shot, I think it's a Kingsguard or Queensguard entering into, I don't know what these people, who these people are. This looks like Dragonstone to me. But I'm seeing people who I don't recognize. It could be one of the councils, one of Rhaenyra's war councils, and some members of other houses as this person comes in. But it's followed up by this shot, and I'm not sure that they're actually related. But this is Eric. I believe Eric with an A because of all of the green in his uniform. And he is striking down on somebody. Again, I have thoughts about that in the spoiler section. I'm actually beginning to question whether this is what I think it is in a spoiler sense. But I do love the way Eric with an A's armor looks. Another shot of Rhaenyra staring at the sun. Don't hold your eyes on the sun too long, Rhaenyra. We don't want your eyes to burn out. Then a shot of Rhaenyra looking very determined. And I think that's the last shot that we get before the big shot of Caraxes to finish. Both trailers ended with dragon shots. We had, I believe it was Sea Smoke in the Aegon trailer. And now we get Caraxes for sure at the end of the Rhaenyra trailer. Love it, love it, love it. Let's go through some of the dialogue here. Once again, we are back at this, what seems to be a funeral pyre, some kind of fire pit, with the whole family gathered around, except for Daemon. But we start to hear Rhaenyra's voice saying, "My father chose me, his firstborn child, to succeed him." She continues, "He held to his decision until death. And yet, Alicent's son sits my throne." And you start to hear the anger in Rhaenyra's voice. She doesn't say her half-brother, which is very interesting. She says Alicent's son. She doesn't even consider Aegon family anymore, evidently. And then Rhaenyra at the dinner table says, "I mean to fight this war and win it." And that's where you see Daemon looking like, "Yeah, you go, girl. I'm in for this. It can only be good for me because I like war. I like causing trouble. This is perfect." Then we hear Jace's voice, I believe. It starts as Rhaenyra is approaching Syrax, but Jace's voice says, "The realm will soon tear itself apart if men do not remember the oath sworn to King Viserys and to his rightful daughter." And during that bit where we hear Jace's voice, it goes all through the shots in the north. So that's interesting. But it does end, "and to his rightful heir," on that shot of a determined Rhaenyra. Then we hear, I believe it's Corlys Velaryon's voice, as we see it starts with a shot of Otto, but you hear Corlys's voice saying, "The high towers are marching." And then you see the shot of him talking to Rhaenys and telling her, "You must crush this beast at its head." So the high towers are marching. "You must crush this beast at its head." There's a lot we can talk about as far as spoilers go with that particular conversation, which is interesting for me. Love it, love it, love it. Then we hear Daemon's voice, and we see shots of him in Harrenhal, where he says, "Our terms are very simple. Renounce the false king." That's where the shot of Alicent and Helaena mourning is cut in. "And bend the knee to the queen," as we see the shot of Aegon, "or your house burns." That's why Daemon was so excited when Rhaenyra says, "I mean to win this war." He's like, "I know how to win this war. I'll just burn everybody if you don't succumb to me, then I'm just going to burn you. Oh, I like this." That's what Daemon's thinking the whole time. Then we hear Rhaenys's voice. And again, this may be part of that same conversation that we heard in the teaser trailer. But Rhaenys says, "When the desire to kill and burn takes hold and reason is forgotten, we will not even remember what began the war in the first place." And then we get, I believe it's Daemon's voice that we're hearing. "We fight for our queen," is what was said. Even though it looks like we're seeing Sir Eric. That's Eric with an A, I believe, not Eric with an E. Which one is it, Patman? Anyway, he is fighting. It's from that same shot that we saw in the green trailer where he's swinging a sword at somebody. Again, I can't identify this location. More on all that in the spoilers. And then we hear Rhaenyra's voice. Even though she's not speaking it in the shot, we hear her voice saying, "I fear what I have begun." So what is she talking about there? I've got some ideas about that too in the spoilers section. So that concludes the trailer for Team Rhaenyra. We've gone over these in a spoiler-free fashion. I know,
this podcast is very long. My bad. But thanks for still being here. And remember, I always want your thoughts. At the letter B, the number 4, the Dragon Pod on the social medias, or use that same spelling to reach our YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the like button on videos, or the dislike button on videos. If you don't like the fact that I don't do dragons well, I understand if you hit the dislike button. But the 7 algorithm gods demand your attention one way or another. So please do me a solid and join our community. Also, one other thing, I'm bringing back the fan call-in show. I did this for Podcast Winterfell years and years and years before I dumped that URL off onto DVR Podcast Network, but we're bringing it back for Before the Dragon. There is information at the website as to how you can participate, how each week you can tell me what you thought of each episode of House of the Dragon as it airs. I want to hear from you. Be sure to go to mattsaudioblog.com, mattsaudioblog.com, in order to get information on how you can participate in the fan call-in shows. And that's it. If you're trying to remain book spoiler-free for this particular show, this is where I'm going to cut you off and ask you to come back next time when we have another spoiler-free podcast, because I'm about to get into some heavy book spoilers between these two trailers. Thanks so much for joining me if you're leaving, and if you're sticking around, here come the spoilers. And this is your absolute final warning. If you don't want to be spoiled about book things, if you don't want to know what is pretty much known about the way season 2 is going to be laid out, at least the first half, any of that stuff, it's your last chance to go before I spoil the heck out of you. To me, and I was very surprised by this, the two trailers actually revealed a lot about all of the blood and cheese plot, which is what we'll start with, a heck of a lot more than I expected, for certain. And one of the shots that initially establishes all of this is, of course, someone bribing a gold cloak to get into the city. I suspect this is Daemon, and he is going to hire Missaria to hire blood and cheese. He's going to get in there and communicate with her, or at least try to get her out of there, because we do see her, I think, in some other shots in these trailers as well. I'll get to more to that in a second, but right now, I believe Daemon is actually sneaking into King's Landing and getting there to get this whole plan of blood and cheese enacted with Missaria. And as the plan is enacted, what we see are blood and cheese themselves going down one of those secret tunnels into the Red Keep, or they're already within the Red Keep. These are the same tunnels that we saw Daemon leave a note for Rhaenyra to use to get out so that they could go out on a night in the town. This one is a little more cramped, of course, than the ones that we saw her use. But I still believe it's either the entrance to these secret passageways, or it's a place where the secret passageways get a little tighter. If you look very closely at the back of the head of the person leading, the person holding the torch, I believe that that is for certain the same guy that is holding a knife to Helena's neck in the teaser trailer from late 2023. The hairstyle looks very much the same. We also get a shot in these trailers that I believe is the aftermath of Blood and Cheese, and that's the one with the maiden, obviously in the Red Keep. She's running down the hallway. She's got this horrible sheet just covered with blood, and she's carrying it. She's got blood on her hands. I'm pretty sure this is the result of Prince Jaehaerys being beheaded, and they're just using whatever they can to clean the blood up, to preserve the body. There's no head if they do it according to the books. Cheese is going to take that with him, or blood is going to take that with him, and try to get his reward from Daemon as a result. Will we actually see Daemon meet with Blood and Cheese themselves? Now, that would be very interesting, rather than just having Missaria do it. I remember in that Blood and Cheese podcast, I speculated about the secret ways that Daemon might meet up with Missaria through glass candles and what have you. Doesn't appear like any of that's the case. He's just going to bribe his way into town, sneak his way in, talk to Missaria, and then Blood and Cheese are going to do their thing.
But what we do have also in these shots, and this is, I mean, it's telling the complete story here. We have the aftermath of Blood and Cheese as well, especially for Alicent and for Helena themselves. There's that shot of them on a cart. They're both wearing mourning veils. It's a very sad affair. And there are shots, of course, of Alicent crying while in that. And she's crying for the loss of her grandson. Poor girl. Nobody deserves that whatsoever. And I'll remind you again that there was a shot in the late 2023 teaser of Helena herself also wearing that veil, dressed in the same way, looking to the sky. So this is all connected. Additionally, we see the small folk, and they are likely mourning young Prince Jaehaerys as well. There has been some footage leaked of that whole procession with somebody saying, "Behold the works of Rhaenyra the Cruel," and people are scattering flowers, petals, and everything all over the cart there. This appears to be part of that same shot. They're on this wall, and they all look terribly horrified and saddened for their queen and for the Dowager Queen. And I believe this shot of Otto complaining about how Rhaenyra's team only wants to really destroy the realm. They don't want to do anything that's good for the realm. They only want vengeance. When he's talking to Alicent there, I believe this is an allusion to what has happened to Prince Jaehaerys as well. And you see further shots of Alicent being quite despondent, especially in the bath, where she seemingly just doesn't even care what's going on around her. She's just trying to, I don't know, escape in some way. She looks very despondent, very sad, as she's staring up through the water in her own bathtub with her head completely under. Another thing that we get from the trailer, which I did not know if I would see or not, didn't expect to see really, but that's Aegon's reaction to this. And I believe this shot of him beating someone with a club is part of that. It may be him personally torturing Blood, because that's who ends up giving away that it was Missarya and Daemon who planned all of this. It's either that, or it's shortly after everything has happened and he's just beating people who are loyal to Rhaenyra. But it's definitely post the incident of Blood and Cheese happening, the death of Prince Jaehaerys. There are further shots of Aegon looking fairly out of it, which shows that maybe he did actually care for his kids, although I know that there are some theories out there that they aren't actually his kids. I think he thinks they're his kids. And that's all I have to say about the Blood and Cheese stuff. Let's move on to the Battle of the Burning Mill. And we've got a few shots here in this trailer that I believe allude to that as well, although not the actual battle itself, maybe the beginning stages of the battle. For instance, that shot of the Bracken soldier facing off with the Blackwoods, it all comes from a sequence of events that we also saw in the teaser trailer. However, in these trailers, the Bracken soldier looks like they are alone, as opposed to the teaser trailer, where clearly they had some other people with them. So what I suspect is happening here is not part of the battle itself, but kind of the prelude of the battle. It starts off with Blackwood soldiers, and even though most of these guys look like kids, but it starts off with Blackwood soldiers going into the Bracken lands and setting fire to crops and running off livestock and everything. And so this might be a first encounter between a Bracken soldier and a Blackwood soldier. Evidently, he's having to babysit. He's having to double duty, babysit and to burn Bracken lands. But I believe that this is kind of the beginnings, the rumblings, and now they'll go back to Stonehenge, all of the Brackens will, and they'll start to try and gather up so that they can march on the Blackwoods, and then we'll get the battle at the mill. Let's talk a little bit about Duskendale, because I believe there were a couple of shots from Duskendale between the teaser trailer in late 2023 and these trailers here. They all seem to be at the same place. I don't think it's Rook's Rest. I think it is, in fact, Duskendale, just based on the fact that we actually saw someone get beheaded in the teaser trailer already, and I think you kind of want to leave what everything happens at Rook's Rest as kind of a mystery for viewers who aren't reading the books. So you have Kristen Cole drawing his sword, and then from the teaser shot, of course, you can put it together with him having the Hand of the King chain, as well as getting ready to behead someone who I believe is Lord Darkland, who is the head of the castle there at Duskendale. And speaking of Kingsguard, now we have the Eric versus Eric problem, the A versus E, what I like to call the Royal Guard Rumble. And as I look at these shots, I'm not so certain that this is part of that, although it would make the most sense. One of the things that kind of threw me off was the fact that this guard, be it either Eric or Eric, that's Eric with an A, or Eric with an E, is wearing green. Now, we know that Eric with an A is at King's Landing with King Aegon. And we saw a shot of him in this trailer by a scorpion. I definitely think that's the Red Keep and not Dragonstone. So this is not Eric with an E. This is definitely Eric with an A. But we've seen shots of Eric with an E also, and he seems to have very similar armor. So is this a Cargyle thing? Because it's not really something that seems to be official for Kingsguard. It may just be Cargyle armor. That is hard to say. Because both in Season 1, Episode 9, when he rescues Rhaenys, and in Season 1, Episode 10, the finale, when he brings the crown to Rhaenyra, it looks like he has very similar colored banding, that green colored banding. So the truth of the matter is that you don't know which Cargyle this is. Well, maybe you do. Maybe you can tell twins apart better than I can, but I certainly can't tell whether this is Eric A or Eric E here. Either way, I do think we're going to get the Royal Guard Rumble. And with that, let's move on to Jace and his part in the story, which there were a couple of things that really surprised me. I don't recall in the books whether Jace is at Lucerys's funeral. I think he's already taken off for the Vale, and we got shots of him being at what appears to be a funeral, certainly being at other events around Rhaenyra's table, but we also did get what we know happens kind of in the books, and that is we think that we see him with Cregan Stark, and you hear his voice saying those things about, you know, the country will tear itself apart if people don't hold to their oaths. And I think he's actually speaking it to Cregan right there. It doesn't matter to me whether it's at the Wall or whether it's at Winterfell. If the show wants to go and try and further cement this whole thing about how the dream about the White Walkers is what Aegon had and then decided to unite the realm, I'm totally cool with that. Don't care how far the White Walker path they go. Everybody wants to see White Walkers. I get it. You got to do a little bit of fan service, not on the book side, because you don't get any of that stuff in the books, because I think this was supposed to be a reveal for Winds of Winter that George was going to put in. But since he spent 13 years not getting around to writing that part, or at least publishing that part, we have to get it revealed in the television show House of the Dragon. At any rate, I still am a little puzzled. And also, will we see him in the Vale? It seems so, because Redanian intelligence told us that Amanda Collin has been cast as Lady Jane Arryn, Maiden of the Vale. You might know her from Raised by Wolves on HBO more recently. I don't know that those rumors have been confirmed, but usually Redanian intelligence has their finger on the pulse of what's going on with these shows pretty darn well. Nonetheless, there still is the issue of Jace being at what appears to be a service of some kind for Lucerys. It may not even be an actual funeral. It may just be a memorial. Not exactly sure what all's going on there. But you can see Jace and Joff and Rhaenyra there. And there was a still released showing the three of them together that looks like it's very similar to the shot that we see in the trailer. And with that, let's move on to the Battle of Rook's Rest. There's some things in these trailers that sets it up and offers possible differences as well. First of all, there's a shot of Aegon seeing the Conqueror's crown mounted on a knight's helm and seemingly taking it. Now, we know that Aegon does go to battle with his dragon Sunfire to Rook's Rest, and him and Aemond kind of lay in wait for Rhaenys in order to trap her. But one of the more interesting things that I found in terms of new information is the shot or scene between Corlys and Rhaenys, where Corlys tells Rhaenys that the Hightowers are marching and she needs to cut it off at the head. Now, that's different. I don't think there's Hightower troops with Criston Cole at Rook's Rest, but at the same time, I don't know if Rhaenys is ever going to face Hightower troops, because we all know what happens to her at Rook's Rest. So this might answer one of the questions that I had asked during our presentation about Rook's Rest. I asked who actually sent Rhaenys, because in the book, she just kind of shows up, something like 9 days after a raven was sent to Dragonstone. So now maybe we do have an answer. Maybe it is Corlys who sent Rhaenys. And that's why in other shots in the teaser trailer, he looks rather broody, because he's made a terrible mistake, because we know Rhaenys does not survive Rook's Rest in the books. But we know that Rhaenys faces off against Aegon on Sunfire and against Aemond on Vhagar. So if that all happens, Rhaenys will go to her death. In fact, all three of those dragons will fall. Rhaenys does cause a lot of havoc, and we get some shots of, it looks like, Criston Cole and some of his soldiers taking shelter in the woods, probably from a dragon, so that Aegon and Aemond can trap Rhaenys. Yet there are shots that seem like it's a similar woods, and it's done in a sequential way with some of these other shots that show Moondancer with Bela riding Moondancer, and it feels like it's in the same area, perhaps at the same time. You even see shots of Moondancer circling over those woods, almost as if they were searching for Criston Cole and all of his other troops that are riding through the woods. So my question is this: if Bela is at Rook's Rest, why? And how will the show resolve that? I don't have an answer for it, but I am going to ask the question. At the top of this section, I mentioned some stuff about Missaria. And of course, I'm sure TV-only people probably pondered whether Missaria lost her life with the fire that was at her home in King's Landing. Evidently, that is not the case. Along with the release of the trailer, there were some stills released, and we see a shot of Missaria in one of those stills, and it almost looks like she's back at Dragonstone. Additionally, there's a shot in the trailer proper of Rhaenyra looking out at the sunset at Dragonstone, and it appears to actually be Missaria who is standing beside her. I didn't want to say that in the spoiler-free part, but that's who I believe is standing there with Rhaenyra in that shot. So we've gone through all of the kind of spoilerific scenarios, but I still have some questions, specifically about that one shot of a dragon flying towards what I believe is Harrenhal, and us seeing the God's Eye there. I still can't quite figure out who that dragon is. So if it's Syrax, then you have to ask the question, what the heck is Rhaenyra doing going to Harrenhal? Unless it's after Daemon has already captured Harrenhal and she's going to communicate with him about something in person while he holds Harrenhal. We know he'll lose it later, but there is a great time period in there where he does hold Harrenhal, and that enables him to gather troops together as a great hosting spot. So maybe they go back and forth to talk to each other a little bit. But again, that's just speculation. There's all kinds of possibilities that that could be, so I'm not going to speculate too much further on any of that. I already touched on the whole Bela situation as well. It's hard for me to figure out why she would be at Rook's Rest, although, again, the wood shots and the way that Moondancer dives kind of to skim over the top of those woods really kind of makes it look like she's there. And you have to remember that she was very enraged in the teaser trailer, enraged by something, wearing a very similar outfit. So is it possible that she witnesses Rhaenys' death? Is it possible that Rhaenys sacrifices herself to save Baela? Another speculation is about Gawain Hightower. Where is he when we see the shot of him in the trailer? Is this part of Rook's Rest as well? Remember that Corlys had said the Hightowers are marching and that Rhaenys must stop them. So are they going to use the Hightower force as a way to strengthen Criston Cole's force as he marches on Stokeworth and Duskendale and ultimately Rook's Rest? And what will be Gawain Hightower's fate? Does anybody care? Does anybody remember how bad of a jouster he was in season one anyway? Maybe he's gotten better. Maybe he's had some practice. Also, this shot of a valley soldiers, you see Daemon standing over them with his great armor. And again, we connected that to being the same camp that we saw Rhaenyra's banners being flown. I can only speculate what this is. The hills and everything kind of remind me of the Vale, but I don't know why Daemon would be there. So is it possible that this is another portion of the Battle of Burning Mill where Daemon coordinates to take Stonehenge? Because I'm pretty sure that shot of him on the dragon saying, "Surrender, bend the knee, or your house burns," is him talking to Lord Humphrey Bracken. At least that's my guess. And the weather between the two shots looks kind of the same, and Daemon is trying to assemble a force of a lot of the Lords of the Trident together so that they can either march on King's Landing or hold off the Lannisters from the west. And the last shot I want to talk about is Sea Smoke. It's the final shot of the Team Aegon trailer. And you're probably thinking, well, why Sea Smoke? Well, if you're a book reader, you know that eventually Sea Smoke gets a new writer. I still don't understand how they are explaining that Laenor faked his death, went off, and Sea Smoke didn't sense it and follow them over the Narrow Sea. But this is likely somebody trying to become a dragon seed, a dragon rider of Sea Smoke. It may be Sea Smoke and Adam of Hall's first meeting. And I can't imagine Sea Smoke being happy with anybody trying to ride him after what happened to his Laenor, or probably just upset because Laenor, you know, basically abandoned him. And that's going to do it, folks. We are at the end of all of my questions and speculations. If you have more, of course I want to hear them at the letter B, the number 4, the Dragon Pod. That's on the social medias, like the site formerly known as Twitter. Just send me a post there. Or you can leave comments in our YouTube channel videos. Love to get those as well. I will be having a feedback podcast coming soon. I promise you, I want to include your feedback from this presentation before I bundle it all together into one big long presentation. Hopefully not as long as this one has been. If you have been here from the beginning and you went through all of this in one setting, I cannot thank you enough. I also wonder about your sanity, especially after hearing my voice rattle in your head for a couple of hours. You are amazing and probably crazy by now, probably ready to strangle me by now. But until next time, thanks so much for listening to Before the Dragon Podcast. This is Matt. Take care.
Find all back episodes and other information at mattsaudioblog.com.